You're listening to the free edition of Sweden in Focus from The Local. If you would like to listen to a full-length version of the podcast, as well as an additional midweek episode, please check the episode notes for details on how to upgrade to Membership Plus. Here's this week's free edition.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello and welcome to Sweden in Focus, the Local's weekly news podcast. We're recording this episode on Thursday, the 28th of March, and this week we'll look ahead to the Easter holidays. We'll have a quiz to round up some of what's going on in the news, and we'll look at how Sweden fares in the latest World Happiness Report. For Membership Plus subscribers, we'll examine why Sweden's climate watchdog has slammed the government's policies. We'll ask if Sweden is getting closer to adopting the euro, and we'll discuss whether Taylor Swift's upcoming Swedish concert is going to give the economy a boost, as experts predict a sunnier outlook for Sweden in the second half of the year. I'm Paul Omani in Stockholm, and I'm joined today from Malmö by podcast regulars Emma Lovegren and Becky Waterton. How are you? Are you all set for Easter, Becky? How are you going to celebrate?
Yeah, we're doing the standard Easter lunch with my husband's family, you know, egg, herring, potatoes, basically the usual Swedish holiday food. I'll also be making the most of a long weekend by doing some much needed gardening work on the allotment now that spring's finally here, as well as probably grumbling a bit on Sunday morning after getting an hour less in bed due to the clocks going forward.
Oh yeah, that's right. So we're officially switching to summertime at 2 a.m. on Sunday. What's it going to be like on Sunday, Emma? Does Sweden shut down for Easter, or will shops and restaurants be open as normal?
I mean, it depends a bit on what you need and where you live, I suppose. I actually read that in Norway, supermarkets are legally obliged to close on Easter Sunday, but that's not the case in Sweden. And these days, you can usually expect major shops and supermarkets to stay open, maybe with slightly reduced opening hours. The one exception is Systembolaget, the state-run alcohol chain, which will, as usual, be closed on Sunday, but it will also be closed on Easter Monday, as that's a public holiday too. When it comes to like smaller shops and restaurants, I think it depends on whether the owner has decided that they want an Easter break themselves or not. I live in quite a touristy part of southern Sweden, and a lot of restaurants here that don't usually open until the summer season, they're actually open this weekend briefly just because we get a lot of Easter tourists. And similarly, like a lot of people go skiing at Easter, so I'd expect shops and restaurants and ski resorts to be open.
Okay, thanks for that roundup. And we've got lots of Easter-related articles on the website, and we can link to a few of those in the episode notes. In the meantime, we hope all of you listening are getting some time off to enjoy what Sweden has to offer, whether it's on the ski slopes or elsewhere. Our sponsor again this week is Stockholm's Akademiska Forum, which produces the excellent podcast Stockholm is a State of Minds. Every year, brilliant people from all over the world move to Stockholm and Sweden for work, studies, love, or as an accompanying partner. If this describes you and you'd like to hear tips on navigating life in Sweden, then you should definitely start listening. They even have an interview in the archives with the Local's own James Savage about covering Sweden's news for an international audience, which obviously we're very happy to recommend. The podcast, again, is Stockholm is a State of Minds. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts, and it's a great tool if you want to become more Swedish. Now, I've prepared a short quiz for you this week to mix things up a bit. You can confer on the questions if you like. The prize is an enjoyable Easter break, knowing you're on top of what's happening in Sweden. Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
It's not going to be a great advertisement for our journalists being tuned into current affairs if we get these questions wrong.
Okay, well, let's see. So the Swedish football season kicks off this weekend. when the men's league, Allsvenskan, gets underway, and the women's league, Damallsvenskan, kicks off 2 weeks later. Who won the men's and women's leagues last season?
MFF won the men's one, and I think it was Umeå.
Who are MFF?
Malmö FF.
Malmö, yeah.
That would be my guess also.
I think Umeå won the women's one.
Yeah, so we'll start with the men. So Malmö won the league after beating their title rivals Elfsborg on the last day of the season to finish on the same number of points, but with a slightly superior goal difference. So yeah, the women's league?
I think it was Umeå.
I will trust Becky.
It was not Umeå.
Oh, no.
It was Hammarby in Stockholm. So Damallsvenskan also went right down to the wire, and Hammarby and Häcken finished on the same number of points, but Hammarby had a one-goal advantage across the season and were crowned champions.
I only watched the handball league, so...
I am married to a huge MFF fan, so that's the only reason I know is MFF. Also, yeah. MFF win basically every year, so like...
That's true.
It's a safe guess.
And Häcken, who finished second in Damallsvenskan, they are actually playing in the quarterfinal of the Champions League tonight as we're recording against PSG. So I think they're 2-1 down from the first leg.
Mm-hmm.
So, quite an achievement for them to get that far. Let's see how that goes. Right, next question. So the town of Pajala in northern Sweden asked the government recently to allow the municipality to have a second official name, Pajalan Kunta. Why did it want a second official name, and what did the government say?
I think that's because they wanted the second official name in Meänkieli, right?
Yep.
Which is like a local language up there.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted sort of greater recognition for the minority language, Meänkieli. Yeah.
Exactly.
And what did the government say?
The government said no, because nobody else has two names. So we don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to, you're free to put it in Meänkieli on road signs and the like, if you want.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. I was going to ask if you knew what had happened in the case of the Ethiopian embassy vehicle found abandoned on rail tracks in Stockholm that we spoke about earlier this month, but I just saw that you wrote about it on the site this morning. But maybe you can tell us the answer anyway. What has happened with the police's preliminary investigation there?
Well, nothing. It's been dropped because the person who drove the vehicle has diplomatic immunity, so they can't be charged.
Okay.
They were suspected of like reckless driving and potentially endangering other people and running away from the scene of an accident.
Yeah, I think when we talked about it before, that was kind of what we expected to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so on to the next question. The legendary Swedish football coach Sven-Göran Eriksson recently revealed that he'd been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and doesn't have long left to live, according to doctors. He won major titles with multiple clubs and was famously the coach of the English men's football team. But on Saturday, he cried tears of joy after getting to fulfill a lifelong dream. What was it?
Was it managing Liverpool?
Yes.
It was, exactly. He got to coach Liverpool, which was the team he supported as a boy in a Legends match at Anfield against, do you know who it was against?
Don't know.
No, it was against the Dutch team Ajax.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Right, on to the next and final question. So which Swedish political party made headlines recently when it said that social media should be classified as being a danger to children in the same way that tobacco and alcohol are?
Oh, I don't know.
I would guess.
Does this sound like something that the Liberals would say?
Yeah, no, I would guess the Liberals or the Christian Democrats.
Say no more, because you're right.
The Liberals?
You're right, it was the Liberals, yeah. Aha. And the party also wants Sweden to examine the possibility of blocking children from accessing social media apps, streaming services and video games after 11 p.m. on weekdays.
You know what my thinking was? It was actually that which party is the most likely to come out with these sort of random proposals?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Liberals.
They also, was it not the Liberals that said we should cut down on screen time in schools and stuff like that?
They did, maybe. Exactly.
So it feels like this
they
would
did.
Fit with that.
Yeah, I was looking around at the reactions to this proposal of like putting a lock on like social media apps, and the reactions ranged from this is an absolutely fantastic idea to this is the most stupid idea I've ever seen. So it has got
My next guesses would have been the Centre Party or the Green Party, because it tends to be these small parties that come out with these kind of random like proposals that people are going to talk about.
Mm, but they're never actually going to see the light of day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, well done on the quiz. I think you got most of those right. So you're all set for Easter. You won't. You don't have to feel like you don't know what's going on.
I think we did all right.
I was quite surprised that we got the sports questions right, to be honest, because I've never considered myself someone that knows anything about sports.
Half right.
We'll actually be hearing more from the two of you on Wednesday in our next episode of Sweden in Focus Extra for Membership Plus subscribers, where we get some insider tips from you on things to do in Malmö ahead of the Eurovision Song Contest, which is just over a month away. Among other things, you can hear this bit where Emma's talking about some stereotypes people tend to have about people from Malmö and the wider Skåne region.
I think one of the first things that people probably think of when they think of people from Skåne is farmers. Like, we're sort of rural peasants, simple folk. But what they don't understand is that we think of ourselves as, you know, closer to the continent. We're a bit more international than the rest of Sweden, and we actually think that Stockholm is a bit provincial. Mm-hmm. Although, that being said, that last bit is also a stereotype that we think that we're better than everyone else. There's some funny story. There's this road that connects Malmö and Ystad in the very far south, where the joke goes that it divides Sweden into two equal parts. And if you look on a map, it's this tiny, tiny, tiny piece of land. Another stereotype is that we eat a lot. Skåne was historically one of Sweden's most well-off regions, so thanks to very kind of fertile soil for agriculture. And I was about to say that Malmö isn't necessarily the same as Skåne, because it's not rural, it's urban. But actually, it is known for having an amazing food scene. Mm. There's been a big influx in recent years of people moving from other parts of Sweden to Malmö. And I think they tend to say that it's a bit more sort of relaxed and international than a lot of other parts of the country, although they think that the dialect is incomprehensible.
So that was an excerpt from the upcoming Sweden in Focus Extra, and we'll have that full episode for Membership Plus subscribers on Wednesday. So the latest World Happiness Report has Swedes down as the fourth happiest people in the world behind the Finns, Danes and Icelanders. What does the report say about Sweden, Emma?
It doesn't actually say that much about Sweden in particular. But Sweden has been in the top 10 for years and years, so not much has changed. The report also measured changes in happiness since 2006, and it had barely changed at all in Sweden. It's remarkably stable. Our colleagues on the local Denmark, which is also a very happy country, spoke to a happiness researcher who pointed out that for the countries in the Nordic, it's not so much that we're all kind of walking around being deliriously happy all the time. It's more that we have relatively few people who are unhappy. Like, people are sort of generally content. The welfare state is often mentioned as a big factor. There is a sort of social safety net. If you lose your job, there's a sense that the state will take care of you and you'll still have access to healthcare, you'll get unemployment benefits, etc. And there's also a good work-life balance, so people have time to enjoy themselves and, you know, enjoy life with their families. One thing that I thought was interesting in the report is that it's pointed out that equality of well-being and equality of happiness also have a big impact on overall happiness. Like, people are generally happier living in countries where the equality of happiness is greater. Or in other words, like, if you're happy, I'm happy.
Mm. And Sweden is one of several countries where people under 30 are less happy than older people. What's that being put down to?
I mean, if you only look at Swedes under the age of 30, as you say, Sweden only makes it to 18th place in the rankings. And again, the report doesn't go super deep into this, but one of the factors could be that young people may be less likely than older people to feel that same social safety net. Like, they have less job security, they're less likely than their parents were at the same age to be able to afford to buy a house. And at the same time, they feel a lot of pressure to be successful, have lots of friends, make lots of money, which maybe social media play a part in. The Nordic Council of Ministers actually did a separate in-depth report a few years ago and found a similar trend. And in their report, the top five reasons given for unhappiness throughout the Nordics were poor general health, poor mental health, income inequality, unemployment, and limited social contact. And those might be some things that young people kind of feel the pinch of more than older people.
What do you think of reports like this generally? Is it a genuine measure of people's happiness?
I mean, if you look at the rankings in general, I think it's pretty obvious that you can make accurate generalizations, if that makes sense. Of course, people are happier in Sweden than they are in, you know, poor, unequal, war-torn countries like those at the bottom of the list. But the countries at the top, they're very close to each other. Like, you can't look at this and say that Danes are objectively happier than Swedes because they're in second place rather than fourth place. You also get very different answers depending on the exact question you ask. Like compare if I ask you if you're happy with your life in general and if I ask you how you're feeling right now or how you were feeling last week. And also, happiness is not an exact figure like wealth, for example. Like, what is happiness? Do we define it as like laughing and smiling, or is it a state of kind of generally being like content with your life?
What do you think, Becky?
Yeah, I mean, happiness is subjective, isn't it? So I feel like it's hard to compare one person or one country's happiness with another. I think these are more accurately a measure of your quality of life in a way. Like, you're happy if you have a good quality of life or your basic needs are met. And that's definitely the case in the Nordic countries for the most part, although things aren't perfect here either.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's all for this week's free edition of Sweden in Focus. If you'd like to hear a full-length version of the podcast each week, as well as an additional midweek episode with more interviews and analysis, please upgrade to Membership Plus. Make sure to check the episode notes for details on how to upgrade. Sweden in Focus is a podcast by The Local Europe. Our sound engineer is Rhys Edwards. The publisher is James Savage.